Good morning, everyone. How are you? It's great to see you and be with you again. I'm really glad we can have this time together. So John has entrusted me with 2 weeks. So I'm with you this week, and I'll be with you again next week. I'm trying to make sure, hi on Zoom, anyone who's out there, making sure that they can, I've got to back up quite a bit, so this is going to be interesting. I am really delighted that we have that much time together, and so I've given a lot of thought to how I can best come alongside your community right now and what the Lord might be wanting to say to you during this time and during our 2 weeks together. So, before we dive into our passage this morning, tonight's a kind of big deal for a lot of little people, right? I hope you're all ready to greet them. You know what's going to happen tonight? A lot of little people are going to pretend to be someone else. And we're going to reward them for that with candy. I think that maybe puts into their hearts and minds a little bit of something about how to live as they grow up. So we better be careful to let them know that while it's fun to pretend for a day, when we get to be grown-ups, it's important to be exactly who we are. That's what I want us to talk about this morning. I want to talk about how God has wired each and every one of you and what it means to bring your whole self here to this community at this time. And that is where I really want us to focus. So today, we're going to walk through a passage. It's in 1 Corinthians. So if you want to flip there, you can. And if you don't, that's fine. I'm going to read it in chunks and we're going to break it down. So just know that's what we're doing. Because as you gather here, I want you to be exactly who you are. And I want to exhort you this morning to live into your giftedness, which, by the way, we are about to see, does not look anything like the person on your left or your right or mine. Or the person a row in front of you or a row behind you. Every one of us has a unique gift mix that we bring to this place. So Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And just to frame that up in case that's not something you've really studied or spent time in recently, so that we're all starting from the same place. The church in Corinth had, before they became Christians, quite a reputation. They had a reputation for being, how shall we say this, unruly. They were practicing some pagan things. They were very, very worldly. That's probably just a good way to sum that up, okay? That's an all-ages way to sum that up. They were doing a lot of things that were not God-honoring things because they didn't yet know about Jesus. And Paul came, and they came to Christ. But guess what? When we come to Jesus, do you know that not every aspect of our life changes overnight? Some of those behaviors still hang around, don't they? So what I love about the letters that we call 1 and 2 Corinthians are that Paul was writing those to people who were learning to align their lives with following Jesus. That's who he's writing to. I feel at home in that. I recognize myself in that. So I'm pretty sure Paul has some things to say to me there. Maybe he has some things to say to all of us there as we strive to be people who are more and more like Jesus. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reminding you just for context that this comes just before a passage that many of us probably have memorized portions of. You've heard it at weddings. You may have even heard it at funerals. It's all about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. As we're reading this, I want you to think about how this might inform that. And remember that it's all one big letter. So maybe one part of living love well is how we honor one another's giftedness and practice our unique giftedness within community. So just bear that in mind as we go. So we're gonna begin here at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 3. And we're just going to take this in chunks because that's the best way I know to do it this morning. So I'm going to read the first three verses. I'm reading from the NRSV this morning. You follow along in whatever you've got. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, wow, he's pretty direct. You were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. Okay, so Paul's going to set some ground rules. This is how gifts operate. No one who's ever speaking from God says, let Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Level set. So because Paul is speaking to a group of people that have practiced all kinds of spirituality, and let's remember that spirituality doesn't necessarily mean Christian faith. They've been pagan, they've worshipped other gods, they've done all kinds of things over the years. Paul's just reminding them, hey, what we're talking about here, it begins in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it's important to know that right out of the gate, when he says concerning spiritual gifts, that the word for spiritual gifts there is actually pneumatikos. Pneumatikos. Pneuma means Holy Spirit. So these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Right out of the gate. This is important because later he's going to use a different word for gifts and it's going to help us understand it even better. So right out of the gate, we need to understand that every one of us who is in Christ has received gifts by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that those gifts, we'll know them because they will help us to live this way. The Holy Spirit always empowers us to live a life that shows that Jesus is Lord. If our lives are showing that, we're in step with the Spirit. There's our test. Paul's given us a lot in this passage. So we're going to keep moving. We're moving on to verse 4. And I want us to read the next 3 verses together. Now there are varieties of gifts. I love that language. But the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the what? The common good. For the common good. Whew, there's so much here. We're going to camp out for a minute. Are you ready? I mean, this is a lot. This is dense. Don't worry, there's only 3 more verses after this we're going to look at. Okay, I mean, you guys are like, what did we sign up for? What has John done to us? Okay, so remember that first word about gifts was pneumatikos. And what did that mean? Pneuma means Spirit, the Holy Spirit, right. And so those were the gifts of the Spirit. And now we got a new word. All these varieties of gifts, these are the charismaton. Charismaton. Charis. Charisma. A word we all know, right? Charis is the word in Greek for grace. So let's establish what these are. These are gifts that come from the Spirit, and these are gifts of grace. It literally is like God's just handing out grace to each and every one of us by the power of His Spirit. And your grace may look this way, and your grace may look this way, and yours may look this way. And when we put them all together for the good of the common, we experience something really spectacular together, regardless of our size. Understand what I'm saying this morning? You can be a church of 10,000 and experience something really good, and you can be a church of 20 and experience something really good. So let's remember that as we keep moving. So, these gifts of grace. You could also translate this, there are various grace acts of God. Grace acts. You and I each have grace acts in our life. And these gifts come to us with unity and diversity. So first we're going to talk about unity. Are you ready? Unity is not uniformity. We're going to remember that in a minute. But there is unity. Who gives these gifts? We see in verse 4 that the Spirit is giving these gifts. We see in verse 5 that the Lord, that's Jesus, is giving these gifts. And we see in verse 6 that God is responsible for these gifts. So we've got the whole Trinity, the unity of the Trinity, bringing the gifts to the church. This is powerful. There's unity in how these gifts come to us. The full Trinity is involved. There's also diversity in the gifts. Oh, this is the hard part. This is where Corinth was getting hung up, because have you ever had that kid who comes to your door dressed as an imposter and holds out their little pumpkin and requests more than one piece of candy? Have you ever had one of those? Have you ever had the greedy kids who want to take like five or six? Maybe you were a greedy kid. Maybe you still are a greedy kid. When we go door to door, my husband always whispers to the kids, get some for me. That's, you know, hey, I'm just saying, if you are a greedy kid, you might find yourself in what Corinth was struggling with. Because these, in Corinth, there were certain people who wanted to experience certain gifts. Oh, that doesn't sound at all like today, does it? We never look at our neighbor and think, gosh, I wish I could do what they do. Gosh, I wish I could sing like her. Gosh, I wish I could lead like them. I wish I could read like her. You know, we never ever do that, do we? In Corinth, people had trouble appreciating the diversity of gifts in the church and in staying in their own lane. In other words, operating within their gifts and honoring the giftedness of others. So Paul writes this great letter, and in it, this is one of the things that he addresses. There's unity in the gifts. They come through the Trinity to you. These are gifts of the Spirit. These are gifts of grace. And there's diversity in the gifts. What you get won't look like to the person next to you. And guess what else? There's one more small thing. Think about for a moment your last birthday. As you thought about what you really hoped you might receive, did any of you have this notion? Let me work really hard so I can get more or better gifts. You never thought that, did you? You never thought like, let me just really work hard at life so I can get the best gifts. It doesn't work like that spiritually either. It doesn't look like that spiritually either. You get what the Spirit determines you need. So today, I'm exercising a gift up here right now. This is a gift I got. Listen, I didn't earn this gift. I didn't. I just received it. Whatever your gift is, you're responsible to use it. Every single one of us. And as we do that, the church benefits from it. Okay, so you cannot earn, you cannot achieve a gift, you just receive the gift. I'll say that one more time. You cannot achieve these gifts, you just receive these gifts. So there's diversity in the gifts. We see gifts, we see services, we see activities. What are these gifts? I know you're excited to hear it. I know you've been waiting. You know there are multiple gift lists in the Bible? There are. Next week, we might look at another one. Teaser, be sure to come. It's going to be great. But this week, we're looking at this gift list that's in verses 8 through 11. That means we're rounding the corner, if anyone's keeping track. To one is given through the Spirit. Again, we're reminded through the Spirit. The utterance of wisdom. And to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Do you see how Paul keeps coming back to the one Spirit? He really wants them to get it. Your gifts are different, but the Spirit is the same. Oh boy, we're keeping on going. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as who chooses? The Spirit chooses. Not as we choose, just as the Spirit chooses. Again, there's a lot here. There's a list here. There's a lot of different kinds of gifts here. Let's be sure to recognize that a lot of these gifts have a counterbalance. They come in pairs, don't they? So we see the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge. Some people in our midst are just very wise. They're wise enough not to poke the person next to them and say, that's clearly my gift. They're not going to do that, right? But you probably already know who they are. And alongside that, we get the gift of knowledge. You know what knowledge looks like? Knowledge looks like a Wednesday night Bible study where I'm teaching and I give the wrong year for the fall of the northern part of Israel. And someone says, I'm sorry, but that happened in blah, 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 blah. And I look at my notes and I'm like, yes, what did I say? Because the gift of knowledge is there to check me. So I misspeak and knowledge corrects. Some of us have that gift. You know who these people are. If you're wondering what your gift is, you could probably just talk to your neighbor later. Because you know what is not obvious to us is incredibly obvious to others. Some of us have the gift of faith. Now, you may be wondering, that makes no sense. I thought we all got the gift of faith. True, but this is an extra dose. This is unique. This is a leveling up. This is an empowerment by the Holy Spirit that goes beyond the average person. You'll know this person when you face a challenge and they can say in full faith, but God is already in it. He's working it out. And no one else in the circle feels that way. But this one person's like, nope, I know. God's there. This isn't too big for him. That's faith. That's faith in action. We need that person. We need those people in our midst, right? Faith. Another gift is the gift of healing. This is an important one for Paul to call out because the Greeks had this understanding. Remember, they'd been dabbling in all sorts of things, that the son of Apollos, I wrote down his name. It is Asclepius. By the way, when you get to these names, you just got to go for it. That's what we do. That's what they tell you in seminary. They're like, just pretend like you know and keep on rolling because nobody really knows, okay? Asclepius, that's what I'm saying. And that was Apollos' son. He was the one that was credited with healing among the Greeks. He had his own temple. So Paul's reminding this church, no, healing doesn't come from Apollos' son. Healing comes only through the Spirit, and there will be certain people who are gifted with that capacity in your midst. Interesting. We're going to keep on rolling. Prophecy, miracles. Prophecy is not a gift that is about speaking the future so much as it is what I'm doing right now and what John does each week. It is standing up and saying, thus saith the Lord. Let me tell you what God is saying right now through this passage to you. You know what's so great? There's always a check in the room. There's always a balance to this. And that is the one who is discerning spirits. One of you is right now gifted to know, is she giving us what God has said? Or is this just Christy bringing you what she thinks? That person's always here. They're always here. And I am mightily aware of their presence. It is a good check. It is a good check. You know, God is pretty smart, isn't he, in how he sets this all up? He is pretty awesome. The gift of discerning spirits, tongues and interpretation. Again, a check and a balance. If someone's going to speak in a language we can't understand, there better be someone else who can understand it, right? So, how do we deal with the difference? I've been thinking about this for a couple of days. How do we deal with the difference? You know, one of the things I think we do, honestly, I think some of our denominational divides are over differences around how we interpret gifts. And one day, friends, one day, we'll all get to heaven and we're going to see the full gift mix. And maybe we'll realize partly what we've been missing, right? And I say that not just to y'all, but I would say that to the whole church. As someone who floats freely amongst denominations, I see a lot of things. And I wonder when we get to heaven how we're all going to experience this great gift mix that God has given us. So who activates or animates these gifts? The Spirit, thank you. Yes, I'm making sure you're listening. The Spirit. Paul has told us that, like, I don't know, 12 times so far in as many verses. He's pretty passionate about reminding us who is giving the Spirit, or the Spirit is giving the gifts. Who is giving the gifts? So there is a unity of divine action and a diversity of human activity. And we're called to honor that diversity and receive it, understanding that there's unity in the giver. This is a cool passage. This is a cool passage, again, if you are a church of 10,000 or if you are a church of 20, because the same Spirit is gifting all the believers. And the same Spirit draws and brings exactly the right people into this community so that you have the right mix. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? That's pretty exciting. I want to tell you three places that I see communities of faith struggle. Here comes the challenge, and then we're done. So the first one is, I live close to the James River. Anyone else get to see the James? Okay, I live close to the James. And sometimes when I'm down there, if I'm down there at the right time, I can catch people practicing rowing. Do you have a visual for what that looks like? The long boats and they're all in there together? Oh, it's quite a thing to see. They huff them up on their shoulders and carry them into the water, and I'm amazed by how they work together. Now, let's say for a minute that St. Francis was a rowing team. You'll get this. You will. I promise. The first two things I see wrong in how churches are operating with gift mix can be expressed in the rowing team. Now, if you all got in the boat, but two-thirds of you said, you know, I've had a long week, and I'm not going to be able to do it today. I'm just not. I'm not coming. And one-third of you said, well, I guess we'll work hard and make up the difference. This really happens in churches on the regular. Both parties are going to have an issue. The party that is in the boat, figuratively, that is not exercising their giftedness, guess what happens to them? They get to the other side, but they didn't get the workout. They didn't get the experience. They don't get the blessing of having participated. This is a spiritual discipline. It is part of what we are called to do, to live into our faith. We're animated by the Spirit. Far be it from me to stop the Spirit's work through me. Right? We're in the boat. We're supposed to be using our gifts. So, if there's anyone who's tempted to coast on this ride, I'm reminding you in love this morning, that is not okay. That is not okay. The second group that is not okay are those who are over-functioning. So we have people in the boat who maybe are tempted to under-function, and then we have people who are tempted to over-function. Now, I know, we know who these people are. Don't be nudging anybody. The Spirit's already talking to them. We don't need to help. Over-functioners will grab all the extra places. They'll pick up the extra work. And at first, it will seem okay. It will seem okay. But do you know what ultimately happens to people who over-function spiritually? They get exhausted. They get exhausted. And you know what else happens? They resent the other people in the boat. Every time. Every time. From where I sit, I can see this so clearly. I see this happen in churches. So there are these people, man, I mean, their muscles look massive and they're rowing and oh man, they're super Christians. And then they get to the other side and they're like, why aren't you pulling your weight? It sure would be nice if you came and helped out sometimes. Or maybe they just think it in their heart and never say it out loud. Underfunctioning, overfunctioning, two problems with spiritual gifts. The third problem is this. Let's say we're in a race theme today. Let's say you went to a race and you had been training for this race. And you got there and the race director said, one small change. You can do this race on any part of your body except your feet. That may throw you for a bit of a curve, right? Could you imagine running the race on your hands? Crawling the race. It would be terribly uncomfortable. This is what happens when we function outside of our giftedness. It's like running a race on something other than your feet. It's hard. It takes a great toll from us because we are outside of what we've been gifted to do. All of us have special gifts and abilities. And we also didn't get all the special gifts and abilities. Newsflash, only one person in Scripture got all the special gifts and abilities. You know who that was? Jesus, yes. And we're not him. We're not him. So we didn't get all nine. And if we operate as though we did get all nine, we are out of function in some area. And we will get tired hands or knees as we run that race on something other than our feet. In our giftedness, it's easy. Outside of our giftedness, it feels very hard. If in this church you are operating in something that feels very hard and it is draining you, I want to ask you to take a step back and ask, is this a part of my spiritual gifting or not? Some of us may need to be honest and say, you know what? I've been outside of it. Some of us will need to be honest and say, I've not been in it at all. I've been along for the ride. And others may need to say, hey, honestly, I've been working a little extra. And I need to let some other people help pull. Now, I can say this to you this morning in love, and I feel called to say this to you this morning in love. This church has a powerful gift mix. And as I pulled in, you know what I was praying, Lord? You have a hope and a future for this church. You have a plan for this church. You have called this church together at this time for a purpose. I believe that. I believe that. So this morning, I'm here to exhort you to use your spiritual gifts right here in this community to make a difference. I'll close with this idea. We often pray for the will of God. Boy, we struggle with it. Oh, I see people struggle. How can I know what the Lord would have me to do? How can I know how I should move forward? We pray that way, don't we? We get really caught up in it. I'm suggesting to you that you are already pre-wired for a large part of God's will in your life. He gifted you for it. You simply must be willing to engage. Allow the Spirit to animate you, and you will find God's will for your life, and God will begin to explode in this community in a new and a profound way through you. That's my prayer for St. Francis this morning.